We're beginning, tonight is of course the, we're up to Parshas Lech Lecha, but for us, here at MMY, it's our first, Sunday night Seder in Parshas, in Chumash Bereishis. And I don't know if I should really, record this, you know. I don't know if you're allowed to say you have a favorite Chumash. So you can't really say you have a favorite Chumash, but I always especially enjoy Chumash Bereishis, the stories that you learn since you're in Gan Yeladim, and you think you know it, and every as you get older, you learn it again, and you learn it again, and you see there's so much more depth into the story, and so many more interesting questions that come up, and things that arise. It's always challenging and fascinating and exhilarating, any Chumash, but... especially Chumash Bereishis. So Parshas Lech Lecha. There's a war, a world war almost, between the four kings and the five kings, and in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the war, Sdom is defeated, Lot is taken into captivity, Avram is informed of what happens and he goes to the rescue and he goes with maybe 318 people, maybe just with his Eved Eliezer, whose gematria is 318, and he defeats the enemy and he rescues Lot and for that matter everyone else from Sdom, and he comes back. And the king of Sodom says to Avram, Vayomer Melech Sodom el Avram, Tein li ha-nefesh v'ha-rechush kachlach. I just want the people. You can keep all the wealth. All the property, all the spoils. That's for you. And Avram turns down the offer. Vayomer Avram el Melech Sodom, Arimos yodi al Hashem kelayon kanei shemayim v'aretz, imichut v'atzroch nal, v'mikach mikol ha-shalach. I won't take anything. V'lo tomar ani asharti es Avram. You shouldn't say that you made Avram rich. Why doesn't Avram want to take anything from the king of Sodom? So Rashi tells us, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu hivtichani la'ashreini. Hakadosh Baruch Hu promised to make me wealthy, and therefore I won't take anything from you. Now if you think about this for a moment, it's a little bit odd. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to make Avram wealthy. But he never said exactly how he was going to get that wealth to Avram. Maybe this is the way he was going to make Avram wealthy. They tell the story about the guy who's on a ship that capsizes. And he's treading water in the middle of the sea and a rescue boat comes to him. And there are other people in there in the water and the guy says to the people in the rescue boat, take care of everybody else first. He says, I trust in God, God will save me. So the rescue boat goes away and starts saving other people. 5 minutes later, another rescue boat comes along. And they want to save me. He says, no, take care of everybody first. I trust in God, God will save me. And this keeps going on. Three rescue boats, four rescue boats, five rescue boats, until finally the guy dies. The guy dies, he goes to heaven. And he says, God, I don't understand. He said, I trusted in you so much, why didn't you rescue me? At which point he hears a voice that says, and who do you think sent all the rescue boats? Meaning, you trust in God that God will save you, but that's the way God saves you. He sends you the rescue boats. Hashem promised Avram he's going to make him wealthy. Maybe this is the way he's going to make him wealthy. He's going to make him wealthy through the king of Sodom. Why is he refusing to take the wealth from the king of Sodom? What makes the question even more difficult is that Avram seems to be very inconsistent. Because what happens towards the beginning of the parsha? Avram has to go down to Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim he has a problem. He's afraid that they may take Sarah as a wife. And if they know that Sarah is his wife, they'll kill him and then take her. So he comes up with a plan. And that is, I'll say that I'm your brother. You'll be my sister. And then they're going to have to bargain and negotiate, etc. And this way they won't kill me. So what happens? Who decides he wants to marry Sarah? At that point, Sarai. But who decides he wants to marry her? Paro. See, he just starts heaping gifts upon Avraham. And he just gives him more and more and more. And Avraham doesn't refuse. He doesn't say, God said, I'll make me wealthy. Torah says, "Will Avraham itiv b'avurava yilotzonu v'kar v'chamorim v'avadim u'shvachot v'atanot u'gmalim," everything. And Avraham takes it all. Why doesn't he refuse there? So some of them say he couldn't have refused because that would have given away the rules. You can't say, well, I can't, because then they'll figure out that he's really not the brother. Maybe. But once they find out, once Paro finds out that he is Avraham's husband and she's married to him, he should have given it all back. He should have said, I don't want to keep it. The Ramban actually says it was a big nace that Paro didn't demand it all back. But why does Avraham keep it? Presumably Avraham keeps it because Hashem said he'll make him wealthy. Maybe this is the way he's going to make him wealthy. In reality, that's what happens. Avraham leaves Mitzrayim and he's quite wealthy. Torah tells us, Vayal Avraham Mitzrayim, Avraham kaved ma'od, ba'mikne, ba'kesev, uva'zahav, he has cattle, he has silver, he has gold. He's wealthy. This is the way Hashem was mekayim his promise. So if he's willing to take from Paro, why isn't he willing to take from the king of stone? Rav Nevinson has a very interesting insight. If you want to understand why Avraham was willing to take from Paro and not from the king of Sodom, we have to understand what each one's motivations were. We have to have an understanding of what Avraham was like. Paro originally gave gifts to Avraham because he thought that's the way he'll get to marry his sister. But then he knows that Sarai is not Avraham's sister. He had every right in the world to demand everything back from Avraham. And presumably Avraham would have given it. It was all given under false pretenses. Why doesn't he demand it back? He sent Avraham away, take everything with you. Chazal tell us that when Avraham's fame became known, the world leaders had a tremendous amount of respect for Avraham. All the world leaders thought of Avraham as being a great person. Paro is no exception. He may be the first of the world leaders to understand how great Avraham is. When he tried to do something that wasn't 100% proper and Avraham's God intervenes, he realizes Avraham is great. If there's a great person, somebody of tremendous stature, and you give him a gift and he accepts the gift from you, you feel good. So-and-so accepted my gift. I'm delighted he accepted my gift. I am honored that he accepted my gift. And in a certain sense, Paro, when he gives the gift to Avraham, is happy that Avraham keeps the gift. It's my honor. I don't want it back. You're a holy person. You're a great person. Keep it. You'll do me a favor. That's what I want to do. But the king of Sodom is different. Chazal tells us that the king of Sodom had other ideas. When he was running away during the battle, the king of Sodom fell into a pit, almost like a quicksand pit, and he had sunk down, and he would have died there. Except when Avraham returns from battle and he passes by the pit, Bezchut Avraham, the king of Sodom, gets out of the pit. But the king of Sodom doesn't look at it this way. He says to himself, wait a second. Avraham was saved from the fiery furnace, from the Kivshan Aish with Nimrod. And people think he's great. Well, I was saved from the boar. I came out alive from that. So I'm as great as Avraham. I'm just like him. He doesn't respect Avraham in any great fashion. Why is he willing to say, Tein li anefesh v'aruchush kachloch, keep all the wealth? Because he feels he has to. The truth is, Avraham legally had every right to it. He captured the spoils of war. Begrudgingly, the king of Sodom is willing to give everything to Avraham. Begrudgingly, he'll give it away to him. Avram doesn't want things that are given begrudgingly. Says Rav Nevinsel, to a certain extent it's based on writings of Rav Dessler, one could divide the world into givers and takers, into people who are always willing and trying to help others, to give to others, and people who are only self-absorbed in themselves, who are takers. Avram is a giver. Avram is the ultimate Baal Chesed. Avram is the one who's always looking to help others. When Paro says, keep it, you'll be doing me a favor. It'll be an honor for me for you to keep it. So in that sense, Avram says, I'm doing him a favor. If I keep the wealth, then I'll keep the wealth. That must be a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to keep it. That is wealth that has gotten through bracha. But the king of Sodom comes along and says, yeah, you can keep half, you can keep the rechush. He sees that he's giving it begrudgingly. In the eyes of the king of Sodom, Avraham is a taker. He says, nah, I'm not a taker. I'm not going to take things from people who don't really want to give it away. You keep everything. I don't want it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to get other wealth, he'll find different ways. And therefore he turns down the offer of the king of Sodom. He of course tells the king of Sodom that the other people who are watching the home front on their Eshkol Mamre, they should get their share. For that, Avram's willing to give. He wants to give him their share. But to take for himself, Avram's not a taker. Amongst the many, many lessons to be learned from the parasha, he was one little thing, maybe not such a little thing, that we need to take to heart. To examine our motives at times. To decide whether we want to be from the takers or from the givers. From the people who are so absorbed in ourselves and wanting to know what's in it for me. Whether this is good for me. Whether I will gain from it. What can I benefit? But to try to emulate, in a small way, Avraham Avinu. See what I can do to help others. What's good for other people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll take care of whatever schar and onesh, whatever schar we deserve. Right? He'll figure out a way. But I'm not a taker. I don't want to be a taker. I want to be a giver. I want to see, what can I do to help others? To look beyond the mirror. To look through the glass instead of at myself, but at others. And see what I can do to be listed among those who give to others.